Now and again, your world gets turned upside down. These moments don't come all that often, but when they do, you remember them, down to the last detail. Every August, my wife and kids go away for a few weeks to a lake bungalow in upstate New York. During those weeks, I take the train up on Friday afternoons to be with the family and then return to the city on Sunday nights. Although I miss my family when they're away, I admit that I revel in the opportunity to catch up on my work. So it was that I found myself going to the same Japanese restaurant on 2nd Avenue in New York City near my office, three nights running, in August 2010. That summer, I was working on the development of a resilience program for high school students aimed at reducing high-risk behavior. And those three nights, I plowed through a series of articles that I'd been collecting for months, in addition to a whole lot of sushi. Physicians are becoming increasingly isolated, working away in our silos, unaware of what others are thinking, exploring, and learning. Every field is susceptible to this problem because knowledge is now growing at an exponential rate, and it's become simply impossible to keep up. Buckminster Fuller, the architect, theorist, and inventor of the geodesic dome, wrote about what he called the knowledge doubling curve in his 1981 book, Critical Path. He suggested that the growth of human knowledge had been pretty slow up until the Renaissance, but that by 1900, our knowledge was doubling about every 100 years. By World War II, Fuller's calculations suggested that knowledge was doubling every 25 years. And although not all fields move at the same pace, on average, we now believe that human knowledge is doubling about every 13 months. With this much new information floating around, we often feel like spinning tops amidst a hurricane of ideas, powerless to master it all, much less put it to good use. For a physician, undoubtedly the most disconcerting aspect of this knowledge explosion is the fact that we sometimes don't know what we don't know. So as I sat eating my sushi and reading my stacks of articles those three nights in August, I really began to question for the first time some of my most deeply held assumptions about adolescence. Risk happens. At what age did you enter adolescence? When did you become an adult? These used to be pretty easy questions to answer. Most of us born before 1980 would probably say that our adolescence began around 13 years of age and that we became adults at around 18. This age range reflects the thinking in most industrialized societies, where adulthood is typically defined by law and generally begins at age 18. But this well-worn definition is not internally consistent, at least within the United States, where we can be drafted into the armed services or stand trial as an adult at 18. Depending upon the crime, in some states, even children as young as 13 can be tried as adults, but can't legally purchase or drink liquor until 21. By contrast, traditional and tribal societies often define the start of adulthood as the age at which adolescent boys and girls achieve various milestones or rites of passage, such as when a boy kills his first big game or a girl gives birth to her first child. In some of these societies, adolescence may last only 2 or 3 years. When adolescence starts and ends matters because adolescents often think, feel, and behave differently from children and adults, which can result in risky behavior. The word adolescence comes from the Latin adolescere, literally to grow up. By most standards employed today, such as the age at which our youth first achieve financial independence or start their careers or get married, growing up takes longer than it used to. Whether we call them preteens, teens, kids, emerging adults, or young adults, the transitional period of life starting just prior to the onset of puberty and lasting until about 26 years of age is marked by enormous physical, emotional, and cognitive growth, and is the focal point of this book. If you think back to your own adolescence, I'm willing to bet that you took some risks that you're probably not very proud of. Maybe it was small stuff, like driving over the speed limit or staying out past curfew. Maybe it was something bigger, like drunk driving or having unprotected sex. If you're a parent, I know you worry that your kids may do the same, or even worse. Perhaps they have already. Whatever you and your kids have done, it's well recognized that risky behavior increases once we hit puberty. The data couldn't be any clearer. According to an annual national survey of youth behaviors, over 80% of high school students rarely or never wear a bicycle helmet. Just about one-third rarely or never wear a motorcycle helmet. Almost half acknowledge texting or emailing while driving. Meanwhile, 1 in 4 gets into at least one physical fight each year, and 1 in 5 reports being bullied on school property. As the father of a teenage girl, here's one that really frightens me. Over 1 in 10 female high school students report that they have been forced to have sexual intercourse. 43% of high school students didn't use a condom the last time they had sex. Equally concerning is the fact that 1 in 4 adolescent girls becomes infected with a sexually transmitted disease, and 3 in 10 teenage girls become pregnant, including 51% of Latina teens. But it's not only accidents and bad behavior that get our adolescents into trouble. The prevalence of mental illness skyrockets during the teen and early adult years. Major depressive disorder affects 1 in 6 adolescents by the time they reach 18, and anxiety disorders affect up to 1/3 of adolescents aged 13 to 18. Disruptive behavior disorders, substance use disorders, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, autism spectrum disorders, and eating disorders affect smaller but significant numbers of adolescents and young adults, resulting in enormous suffering and lost productivity. A full 50% of all lifetime mental illness sets in by age 14, and 75% begins by age 24. At the root of many of these diagnoses and troubles are traumatic childhood experiences, such as being abused, witnessing abuse, or being raised with a severely mentally ill and disruptive household member. Over half of all children in the United States are exposed to this level of trauma, which greatly increases the likelihood of later onset risk-taking behavior, substance abuse, mental illness, smoking, sexually transmitted disease, and obesity, all leading causes of death among adults.